I'm Kevin Power, and this is Sascapes, the podcast featuring stories of arts, culture, and heritage in Saskatchewan. Welcome to episode 78 of Sascapes. This episode is sponsored by Heritage Saskatchewan, a nonprofit organization focused upon living heritage. Think of it as heritage that isn't frozen in time, but continues to evolve and shapes who we are as individuals and communities. Heritage Saskatchewan is comprised of individual members, as well as organizations, institutions, and businesses at the local, regional, and provincial level. One of the big events Heritage Saskatchewan hosts is the very subject of this episode, the Heritage Fairs. So sit back and listen to some of the young students who had the honor of being chosen to present exhibits at the provincial level of the Heritage Fair. While you're listening, head over to Heritage Saskatchewan's website to read more on all of the great work they're doing in the province and the role they play in preserving Canadian heritage. You'll find them at www.heritagesask.ca. Okay, on to this week's episode, as I head off to Regina for the Provincial Heritage Fair. You'll hear how the whole process of heritage fairs play out, as well as conversations with Catherine Jilks and Ingrid Kazikoff of Heritage Saskatchewan. But what I love the most about my time here were the amazing conversations I had with the students participating. I was blown away at how bright, articulate, and enthusiastic they were. If you've ever wondered if kids today care about their heritage, this episode will put your mind at ease. So, I am with Nada. Hi, Nada.
Hi.
So, we're here at the Provincial Heritage Fair, and you have just set up your booth, and your topic was Emily Murphy.
Yes.
Okay, so, first of all, tell me where you're from.
So, I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Okay. And why did you choose Emily Murphy?
Well, being a student, going to school, we always learn about the famous men and the astronomers, mathematicians, and it's very rare that I hear about an important woman who changed a country's way. So I thought it was important to teach others and to show others what women can do and what great things Emily Murphy has done.
So, what great things has Emily Murphy done?
Well, Emily Murphy, in 1916, she became the first female magistrate in Canada and the British Empire. And in 1929, she succeeded in gaining a ruling that stated that women were legal persons under the British North American Act and could serve as members of Congress and judges.
And also, was she part of getting the women the right to vote?
Yes, she was.
Which is a pretty big deal.
Yes.
Can you imagine a time when women would not have been allowed to vote?
It would be hard to imagine that, but I know it was like that before.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that Emily Murphy has changed that.
We've come a long way.
We have.
So when you're old enough to vote, it'll be a really big deal for you.
It will. She's like my hero because I'm a girl and soon to be a woman, and now I have my rights and a vote thanks to Emily Murphy.
Absolutely. What grade are you in now?
I'm in grade 6.
Right. You're very articulate for somebody in grade 6.
Thank you.
Tell me, there's been some talk about putting the First Lady on Canadian currency.
And I would definitely want Emily Murphy to be on that.
Yeah, you're not alone in that. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you because I think a lot of us think that she would be a great candidate.
Yes.
Tell me, you started doing your exhibit on the local level, right?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
No, at school first.
At school first.
You went at school, and then you go to the regionals.
Okay.
And then from the regionals, if you win there, 14 people go to the provincial.
Now, how many people were chosen from your school?
From my school, I'd say about 9.
Okay.
And then we advanced off to the regionals. And then at regionals, 14 people won. And then now,
Right, and I think there's about 40-something,
yes,
I think they're expecting.
To be exact, I think it's 38.
Is it 38? So you must feel pretty proud right now that you've made it this far.
Yes, I am very proud.
Is it your first time?
I've participated 2 years ago because my school does it every other year. So this is my first time winning for regionals.
Right, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell me, tomorrow's the judging,
yes,
right? What do you want the judges, if I were to say, tell me the top thing that you would like the judges to know about your passion around Emily Murphy, what would that be?
Well, I want the judges to know that it's important to learn about what, like, others have achieved. For example, I want them to know what Emily Murphy has achieved, and I want them to share it on to other people, because I want other people to know that when you work hard and you put in the effort, anything can be possible, because Emily Murphy inspires me, and I hope she can inspire other people. And she inspires me when she says, nothing ever happens by chance. Everything is pushed from behind. So I want that to touch people, and I want them to really do something so that we would change society just as Emily Murphy did.
Yeah, because do you think with your age group, do you think sometimes kids kind of feel like things should just come easy, that there should just be a sense,
yes,
of entitlement?
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't think any great person on this planet, Emily Murphy, Edison, Einstein, none of them got where they were without a lot of failure and with a lot of struggle. And
yes.
And I think also what's fantastic about what you've done, and I'm sure the judges will pick up on this, is the fact that you're a female. And
yes.
And beyond her accomplishments, the fact that she is a female you connect to.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Well, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
So, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
I am with Mustafa. Hi, Mustafa.
Hi.
You're doing an exhibit on Viola Desmond. Now tell me, why did you choose her?
I chose her because it's against racism and segregation, and to make our country better, we should stop being racist and segregate against people. Even though it's illegal in a workplace, we should also stop doing it anywhere.
Right, I agree. Now, tell me, where are you living currently?
We were living in Egypt and also in Ontario.
Oh, so you were born in Egypt? Cool. And then when did you come to Saskatchewan?
In 2012.
Wow. And how do you like it here compared to Egypt?
Well, I think it's really clean and, like,
really clean? Really?
And it's more, like, there's less crimes, and it's just a better place to live. And it's, like, and it has a lot of freedom.
But when you were in Egypt, did you get to see pyramids?
Oh, sure, I did.
That's so cool. Those things are amazing to us. And there must be lots of things to see in Saskatchewan that you would never have imagined seeing, like snow. Do they have snow in Egypt?
Nope.
Wow. So it must have been amazing when you had your first snowstorm.
Yeah.
So the school that you go to is in what town? Hey, it's Kevin. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just a quick reminder that the SaskApes podcast is available for free on your favorite podcast app, or you can stream it from your browser. Check out the show notes for the link. On the SaskApes homepage, you'll notice something new under the logo called SaskApes Plus. You can't miss it. There's a big button saying support with a heart icon next to it. I'd love it if you could click on that button and help keep this podcast series going. When SaskApes launched in May 2014, it was the first podcast in the province celebrating arts, culture, and heritage. In fact, you'd have been pretty hard-pressed to find any Saskatchewan podcasts. So I'd like to think that we paved the way. It's been because of your support that this podcast is now in its 9th year. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Now?
Yeah.
It's called Saskatoon School in Saskatoon.
Okay, so in Saskatoon. And you participated in the festival in your school level first, right?
Yeah.
And then from there you went on to the regional level?
Yeah.
And then from the regional, you got chosen to come here to the provincials. Is this the first time?
It's the first time.
That's pretty exciting, first time, and you hit a home run.
Yeah.
That's great. So what are you hoping that the judges tomorrow, what they get from your topic? What is it that is that really makes you passionate about having chosen this woman?
Well, I think it's like I got chosen since her legacy, how Viola didn't set civil rights leader, but she just stopped racism and segregation against, and she also made the Canadian Senate better, and she, even though when she died, it was still good, but in 2010 they apologized and granted her a fair pardon.
How did you choose her? I mean, did you know about her? Did you have people brought her name to your attention? How did you find her?
Well, since our teacher in our school, he started talking about racism and segregation, so I just started like to search about it and research and a lot of work. So then I found out about her, and she started, and it was a really sad story. So I just talked about her.
It's your hope that we do away with racism altogether, I bet.
Yeah.
And you were not born in Canada, and you have a very interesting ethnic mix. Do you find that sometimes people see you differently?
Not at all.
No.
I just feel like people are acting like I'm a normal person.
You are.
I'm not a racist or anything.
No, but you are a normal person. I mean, you're...
Yeah, they're not segregating me.
No, that's probably a good thing,
yeah.
Right? Well, good for you. That's a really important topic to choose, and one we have still a long way to go in, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing your little part in conquering racism by bringing Viola Desmond to our attention. And congratulations tomorrow. I wish you all the luck when you're meeting with the judges. And thanks for taking some time to talk to me.
Thank you.
Okay. I am now with Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
So you have chosen Nellie McClung as your topic.
Yes.
So tell me why you chose Nellie.
Well, it was the start of the year, and my ELA teacher had us in a biography unit, and we came across one about Nellie McClung, and no one knew who she was.
So tell me, who was she?
She was this woman who did so many amazing things for the women of Canada. She was also a teacher and a mother and an author. She did so many things, and she got women the vote, and she just did so much, and it was pretty cool.
Right. And nobody knew about her.
No.
Did you know about her?
No, I didn't.
So
not
then
until
you
we read it.
So then you set off on doing all of your research.
Yes.
Where was Nellie from originally?
She was originally born in Chatsworth, Ontario, but she moved to Manitoba within 7 years.
Right. And how important was it that she was one of the women that got women the right to vote in Canada? How big of a deal was that? Because up until then, you were forbidden to vote, right, if you were a woman?
Well, if it wasn't for her, women of Canada today would probably still be hiding in their houses and they couldn't do much. It's not fair that they were treated like that, and it's amazing that she stood up for themselves.
Can you imagine that in your own life? That here you are, you're female, you're going to grow up to be a woman. Can you imagine living a life where you didn't have the right to vote?
Not really, because I'm just so used to having so many rights, and
right.
It's easier.
Right, but she, it wasn't easy to get that right. Is that right?
She was told that she couldn't do it many times, and people mocked her and were saying that trying to get the vote was dumb because it would never work, and she wanted to prove them wrong probably.
Right. So does that inspire you to go for things even when people tell you you can't?
Yes.
So this is your first time entering the Heritage Fair?
Yes.
So did anybody tell you you couldn't?
Lots of people said that they didn't think they were doing very good, but I didn't want to be one of those people who said that I couldn't do it. Because
okay.
You need to have faith in yourself in order to do good things.
Right. And now here you are at the provincials. You must have been very excited when you found out.
Yes, I was.
And you're living currently where?
In Swift Current.
Oh, right. Good old Swift Current. So this is pretty exciting. And what do you hope that the judges get from your exhibit tomorrow? What's the passion you want them to see that you have?
I want them to see that anyone can make a difference. And it doesn't have to be someone like someone who's born into a royal family or someone who's famous. It can be anyone who wants to make a difference.
Well, I hope you make a difference tomorrow, and I wish you lots of luck with the judges.
Thank you.
Tell me, what's happening with you guys tonight?
Tonight we are getting to go to the Sports Hall of Fame and then a free IMAX movie, and then we're spending the night at the Science Center.
I know. How crazy is that, right? Like, you all go with sleeping bags?
Yep.
That's so fun. Do you know what movie you're going to see already?
No, they haven't told us yet.
I wonder what it is. It's probably not Batman versus Superman, I'm expecting. Well, listen, have a ball tonight and tomorrow. And just remember, no matter how you play, so I know you know this, you've done a really big thing by bringing Nelly to our attention. Oh, and one more thing. There's been some talk about putting a woman on Canadian currency. What do you think about Nelly as being a candidate?
I think she deserves it more than anyone else because she actually made a change in Canada.
Right.
And she isn't royalty, and it just says so much that she could do that kind of thing.
Right. Well, fingers crossed for Nelly. Fingers crossed for you. Now go have a great time. Thanks,
Thank
Ellie.
You.
Okay. Okay, now I'm with Brooke. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Now, you live in Swift Current.
Yes, I do.
And you have chosen for your exhibit the Frank Slide. Tell me about the Frank Slide.
Well, it takes place, there was a town of Frank, and it was outside of the Frank Mine. And on April 29th, 1903, a giant rock slide fell down on the town from Turtle Mountain, which was over top of the slide. And they don't know the exact number, but they're thinking about 9,200 people died. And yeah, that's pretty much the main gist of it.
And why did you choose that?
Well, we went on a vacation there a few summers ago, and I was really fascinated by how much history was involved with this. And I just wanted to learn more about it, so.
Wow, and this is your first festival?
Yes, it is.
Wow, well, congratulations on making it this far to the provincials. You must have been pretty excited when you found out.
Yes, I was.
Right. Well, I know you guys are going to have a fun evening and a fun night tonight, and I wish you lots of luck tomorrow with the judges. Have a ball.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Brooke.
Nice to meet you, too.
Okay. Now I am with Isaiah. Hi, Isaiah.
Hi.
So, you live in Swift Current as well?
Yes, I do.
And you have chosen for your topic the fur trade and Saskatchewan's involvement.
Yes.
Now, why did you choose that topic?
Well, I have lots of knowledge of the topic, and it very well interests me.
Now, did you have knowledge prior to entering the Heritage Fair?
Yes. My grade 4 teacher was very heavy on that stuff.
Really heavy on that
stuff?
Yes. Right. And so, what was the big impact? What impacted you the most that you really are clearly passionate about this?
Just the amazement of how different it was back then to now.
Uh-huh. How different was it?
It was extremely different, like, including, like, the reasons, like, that we don't do the fur trade anymore. Like, we don't trade furs anymore.
Okay, so initially the trading of furs was done because why?
Well, because there's these Scottish immigrants for the Northwest Company that wanted to have a business and wanted to make money. So, like, and they traded with the First Nations for, like, tools and stuff that they didn't have.
Okay. Right. So it was a trade. It was a bartering system.
Yeah, it was a trade.
Right. And why don't we have it now?
Well, because we have money. We don't need to trade that stuff.
Okay. Are there groups within First Nations that you think would still want to carry on that tradition of fur trade, even though it wouldn't be for a bartering system, even though we have money? Was there something historical, some part of their heritage that...
Yeah, it's part of their heritage. I think they'd like to reconcile that.
Right, right. And what do you think about the animal activists, if that were to happen, how that would play into it?
Well, that'd be a very large conflict, because when the fur trade ended, another one of the main reasons was that the beaver was being overhunted, and there was barely any beaver left for them to hunt. That's another cause of the ending of fur trade, yeah.
Yeah, now we've just gone through a sort of a beaver-controlled hunt right now. How did you feel about that?
Well, I was on both sides because, like, it's just, well, there's good reasons for both. Like, I mean, like, hunting beavers can be good in many ways. Like, for, like, it profits money and, like, products that people can buy.
If you're using the beaver,
yes.
But sometimes in
people,
the past,
yes.
It's just got left, yeah?
Yes, people have just left the bodies to rot in the wild, and that's not right.
Do you have any desire to hunt?
Well, I've hunted before. I've hunted deer, but I've never hunted beaver.
Right. You were born here in Saskatchewan?
Yes.
And you entered the Heritage Fair on your school level first, right?
Yes.
And then you went on to the regionals?
Yeah.
And so you made it all the way to the provincials?
Yes, I did.
Tell me, what grade are you in?
Grade 6.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're shockingly articulate for a kid in grade 6.
Thanks.
That's really fantastic. You must be very bright. What's your favorite subject in school?
Math.
What do you think about this age group that you're in caring so much about their heritage that they, because we all know there's science fairs, right, where
yes.
people come and do
yeah.
combat, but I mean, heritage, sometimes you just think, what is it,
yeah.
you know, but so what do you think about the fact that this age group, your age group, cares enough to enter something like this?
Well, I think it's interesting because, like, you see all the time kids not knowing their heritage, and, like, it's just interesting to see kids that are caring about their heritage and passionate about it.
What's your own background?
My own background is I'm East Indian.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Have you gone to India?
No, I have not. Well, our heritage originated in Fiji, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you been to Fiji? That's one of the places I most want to go.
No, but we're planning a trip there soon.
Really? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I could sit and talk to you all day. You are very articulate and a lot of fun to talk to. We could just chat about anything, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on making it this far. I know you're going to have a ball tonight. I hear nobody knows what the movie is yet.
No, not yet.
And have fun with the judging tomorrow. I have no doubt you're going to impress them.
Thanks.
Okay, go get a snack. Go get a cookie.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. I am with Bryce. Hi, Bryce.
Hi.
You're living in Moose Jaw.
Yep.
One of my favorite towns in the province.
Mine too.
Have you been to the Panto at the Moose Jaw Cultural Center?
No, I haven't.
Gotta go. It's a lot of fun. Now, you've chosen a topic that I care a lot about. In fact, this was featured in season 1 of my podcast series. And believe it or not, I got to interview 2 people who worked at the Fort Sam Sanatorium.
Yeah, that's really cool. And actually, my grandpa's uncle went to the Fort Capel Sanitarium because he had tuberculosis.
Right. So let's start at the beginning. How did you choose this topic?
Well, I was trying to pick a topic and my teacher told me about it. And I started doing some research and I got really excited about it. So I just started to do it.
So this was basically like a big hospital where everybody was housed who had tuberculosis, which was very serious at the
yep.
time because there was no vaccination, right?
Yep. And now we can prevent it because we have syringes to take vaccinations.
Was the sanatorium a happy place, do you think? Or was it really kind of a terrible place where people went to think that they were going to die?
I think it was more like a sad place. Lots of people died there, and some people even think it's haunted now.
So, right. Do you think that's any truth to that fact?
Yes.
Really? Have you actually had the chance to try? You can't actually get into the building, but have you seen the building from the roadside?
I have not seen it yet.
It's pretty tough to be able to see now because it's quite grown over. There's lots of trees around there. So tell me, you competed first on your school level, right?
Yep.
and then went on to regionals?
Yep, and then three other people from my school went to provincials.
Right, so there are three of you from Moose Jaw.
Yep.
And was this your first time entering?
This was my first time entering. So I'm only in grade four right now.
You must be pretty excited when you got chosen to go all the way to the provincials.
Yeah.
So tell me, tomorrow is the big judging day. What are you encouraged to do? What is it that your teachers and parents are telling you to do to try to get the attention of the judges?
I'm just going to try my best and do my best on speaking and not goof around.
Yeah, well, that would be good. What kind of elements did you have to bring into your display? I mean, were there certain things that you had to have in your display, or could you just have creative freedom to do whatever you wanted?
Well, I brought a mask and some gloves and a syringe for my backboard.
Okay, now the significance of the mask would be because they wore that, because it was highly contagious?
So they didn't get infected, yeah.
Right. Are there diseases now that we thought we'd conquered that are coming back that you're aware of?
Yeah, people still get tuberculosis, but now we can get rid of it and they don't have to go to the sanitarium. We have vaccines now, so.
Right. We have vaccines for a lot of diseases, huh? So it's pretty important that we have these vaccines.
Yep.
Well, I gather that you're going to have a lot of fun tonight. You're going to go sleep over at the Science Museum?
Yep.
And then tomorrow is judging day. Well, I wish you a lot of luck. It's a really impressive topic that you've chosen. It's a real important part of our history. So good luck tomorrow. Have fun.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm with Catherine Gilkes, who is the Education Coordinator of Heritage Saskatchewan. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm excellent. So here we are at the Provincial Heritage Fair in Saskatchewan. And tell me, what number is this?
How
many fairs?
Well, they've had a fair since in the middle of the 90s, but for us with Heritage Saskatchewan, since we took over the program, this is our third Provincial Heritage Fair.
The third one, right. So this is a pretty big deal to set up, I would expect.
Yes, it is.
Now, did you have to drive around to some of the regionals?
Yes, I did. I went to all four regional fairs that we currently have right now. Went to the Saskatoon Regional Fair, the Moose Jaw Regional Fair, Swift Current Regional Fair, which this year all happened to be within 48 hours, and then the Regina Regional Fair as well.
So you have seen your fair share of Saskatchewan roads.
Yes, I have.
And is this, does the bulk of the responsibility of organizing this beast fall in your lap?
This event here, yes, and coordinating the various regional coordinators and stuff as well. Coordinating them with they coordinate their own regional fairs, but I have to coordinate getting schools involved. I outreach to schools, getting them in touch with regional coordinators to participate at the regional level, and just promoting the program.
Right. In your travels, what are the impressions of what you've seen? Not only, I mean, all of the exhibits, not everybody made it here to the provincials, but I'm struck by the articulate kids that are here, their passion for their projects. It must feel very rewarding to know that you're dealing with a generation that actually cares about their heritage.
Oh, indeed. It's really rewarding, and it's amazing. I mean, we have 40 projects here to date that are incredible. Of course, we had about 330 at the various regional fairs, and overall there was over 3,000 students who created a project this year at all their schools. And at the regional fairs, there was a lot of amazing projects, some of them amazing artistically, and they just arrived, they were pretty good, and they were just amazing. Since maybe their presentation was not quite as good, or maybe it was pretty good too, but they just didn't quite make it to the top. We had, from Regina and Saskatoon, we had the top 14 projects, or top 14 students, I should say, and from Moose Jaw and Swift Current, it was the top 7. So some of the projects we don't get to see here, but they were very good as well. Lots of varying topics, just almost anything, though some of them are more sports or arts related. Some of them wrote their students' personal heritage, their family stories. There's some ones about people's century farms and family farms, or grandparents' immigration, or various cultural backgrounds. And so it's just great to see the different topics and the different interpretations of the topics.
Great. Now, I don't want to put you in the hot seat by talking about this year's entry. So let's talk about the past couple of years. In your mind, are there any topics that really stood out for you that really you thought, wow, this kid cares about that?
Well, it's like almost all of them, the kids really do care about them, and they have a great passion for them. And unfortunately, I don't get a lot of time to talk to the kids individually. I sort of overhear them present to the judges, and occasionally I get to talk to them, ask a few questions. I get to hear a little bit more students who do a video project called The Young Citizens, which is a national project run by Canada's History. And students are chosen at the regional fairs to create videos of their projects, which are then submitted and they'll be online. So I get a chance to see those students a bit more because I get to see their videos, and the ones who win, the top two videos from each province and territory, I get to go to Ottawa. So I get to talk to them a lot more about their projects and a lot more about what they what they've gone through and their process and everything, because I get to spend more time with them, obviously.
Yeah, so there's national level beyond this, yes?
Not for this. The national, that's called the Young Citizens Contest.
Okay.
And that's a separate contest. It's just chosen at the regional levels. And
okay.
Heritage Saskatchewan and myself and Big Sure administer it in the province of Saskatchewan.
Okay.
In conjunction with our Heritage Fairs program. We select the students with some consultation from filmmaking colleagues of ours for the regional levels. So right now those kids are currently working on their videos, which will be submitted at the end of June. But this is the highest we get for the traditional create a project, a presentation, and stuff like that. We don't have a national fair anymore.
So when the Heritage Fair isn't happening, what are you charged with the rest of the calendar year? What's your goal? What do you want to see take place for Heritage Saskatchewan as far as the education aspect goes?
Well, I still work on the Heritage Fairs year-round as well, getting other schools other interested regions perhaps interested in doing it for next year. And so I did do that. I also am working with our other colleagues on our Intangible Culture Heritage, Living Heritage projects, especially leading into 2017. I'm more involved with that and other projects that Heritage Saskatchewan has been doing throughout the year. My main folio right now is the Heritage Fairs, but other things as well.
Right. When this is over, do you get a little bit of a break?
Just a little bit.
More
at the beginning of June, because next week we have the Architectural Governors Awards, and I have to help out with that. And I have to be here early in the morning, like at 8 o'clock, to get the judges oriented. And so I figured to go home for a good night's sleep.
Yes. Well, I do wish you a good night's sleep. This is quite an impressive effort that you have happening here. So congratulations, and have a ball tomorrow. I'll be back.
All right, I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine.
Hey, it's Kevin. Just a quick reminder that SaskApes is a free download, no matter where you find us. SaskApes has its own app for both Android and Apple devices, and that app can be found in the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and Libsyn, as well as many of the other popular podcasting sources. If you like what you're hearing, your comments and star ratings help boost the series in the podcast rankings, so I'd love to hear from you. Okay, let's get back to the podcast.
Okay, now I'm in the exhibit room, and I'm with Nabira. Hi.
Hi.
So, tell me, what grade are you in?
I'm in grade 8.
And you live here in Regina?
Yes, I do.
And is this the first time you've entered a Heritage Fair?
No, I've been entering for the Heritage Fair 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row I've come to Provincials.
Oh, wow, you're a pro. All right. How did you place last year?
Last year I won the Digital Award here. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Tell me about the Digital Award.
So the Digital Award is awarded to the person that uses the most creative way to enhance technology in their project to represent it. And again, to this year, I'm aiming for the Digital Award. So because I have a bunch of QR codes that you can scan, and I've created a bunch of graphs on the computer, and I have videos that I've made to put into my project to explain it a little bit better.
Where are you going to be displaying your videos?
Huh?
Did you say you have videos that you...
Yes.
On your phone?
The QR codes, they've been uploaded
on there. Oh, okay. Oh, they take you there.
Yes.
Wow. You know, there was a time when people had no clue what QR codes were.
Yeah. I didn't either, because I was just, when I saw that there was those four awards that we were going to win this year, I didn't know which one mine would fit to, so I just thought I could, like, work around digital. So I had to learn what I could do to make it digitally enhanced, so that was one of the things that came up.
Right. Okay, now let's get to your topic. Canada and U.S. relations. There could not be a more timely topic than right now, I have to say.
Yes.
All right, now this is I'm chuckling here because I'm looking at two dolls that you have pasted the faces of Justin Trudeau and Barack Obama on.
Well, yes. Well, they were going to come and pose themselves, but they were just a little bit busy, so I just had to do.
Right. Okay, so tell me, how did you choose this topic?
Well, I didn't really know too much about this topic, because I would think that in school they would want to teach you about this, because there's these two great powerful nations, like, right next to each other, and usually when they're in the world, like, when there is something like that, there's war, right? It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. But here, we've achieved peace for so long, and I didn't really know anything about that, except for the War of 1812, which is just sometimes we focus on that at school. And also, I have a lot of cousins that live in the U.S., and they travel here often, and I was just interested on how we avoid war, and then that was just something that I looked into. But then when Heritage Fair came around, I thought it was, well, you know, like, everything that's going on right now, I thought it was just perfect to do my, like, Heritage Fair, this fascination that I had.
Right. Have you gotten into fair trade?
The NAFTA agreement. Yeah.
And how's that working for us?
It's helping. Yeah, I think so, because we've been wanting the free trade agreement for a while, because I remember almost in the 1800s they wanted it, but then they got shut down for a while. Then they started up the negotiations again, and now it's there in place, and it's helping our economy. Yeah.
What do you think? Now, I mean, there's such history between Canada and the United States, but where we're at now, do you think that we as Canadians know more about the United States than they know about us?
I think so, definitely, because I don't know, like, even my cousins, they come from America, and, like, they don't know as much about what's going on over here than I know about what's going on over there, because to them, I can carry on a conversation about politics over there or what's current over there, because that's just what the media portrays more to us and the world, really. And so I think that's what, that America is just kind of it's more centered and it's more focused on media around the world, but Canada tends to get overlooked sometimes.
Mm-hmm. If there were a magic reset button on your life and you got to start again from the beginning, were you born in Canada?
No, I was born in Pakistan.
You were born in Pakistan.
Here, yeah.
Okay, so let me rephrase that. If there were a reset button on your life and you were moving from Pakistan, would you rather move to Canada from Pakistan or from Pakistan to the United States?
I think I would still choose Canada, because now, like, at first, I didn't really know where we were going. I was like, Canada? Where is this? I don't know what it is. Because I was very little when we moved here. But now I'm more educated about what the differences are between the lifestyles in Canada and America. And I think there's definitely a lot of pluses in living in Canada. I think it's more safe. I think it's a quieter lifestyle. It's not so much busy. Like, I mean, obviously it is, you know, if you go to the bigger cities. But I like Regina and how it's small and it's welcoming. And in U.S., like, I don't really know for sure because I haven't been to the U.S., but as much as I know, I don't think I would enjoy it as much there as I do here.
Okay, tell me, when you were you moved away from Pakistan when you were how old?
I was 9.
Okay, so you were old enough that, did you know something about the United States a little bit?
Yeah, because, again, as I said, the media portrays the United States more than it does Canada.
Right.
So, yeah, I knew, I wasn't too much into, like, the political issues and stuff, but I knew, like, the media pop stars, and I knew, like, oh, who's famous and what are the trends and stuff. So, yeah, I knew that, and I knew the cities and what was, like, the biggest cities, like, the movies and stuff like that.
But not so much Canada.
No, not too much about Canada. When I first heard that we were moving to Saskatchewan, I was completely appalled. I had no idea how to even pronounce it. I took 3 days learning how to pronounce Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan?
Right.
Yeah, but I think you get used to it, and it's better. I like it.
How hard is it to pronounce the name of the town you grew up in Pakistan?
Oh, it's not hard at all. Karachi.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, it's not too hard.
And shorter, right.
Yeah.
So, okay, now I would be not doing doing my due diligence if I didn't ask you, what do you think about the U.S. election that's going on right now?
I think that's the question that I get asked most from this topic. Yeah, definitely. Everybody's like, I know it's not in your project, but what do you think about it? Well, I think that what's happening there right now is kind of like, it's around the world, honestly. Everybody knows about it, and it's definitely going to affect us because I think what you're supposing right now is Donald Trump is what everybody asks about.
Well,
yeah.
I guess what the bigger question is, what would the scenario be like if we were looking at relations between Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump,
exactly,
and relationship between Justin Trudeau and Hillary Clinton?
I think with Hillary Clinton, they could be better than with Donald Trump, but with Donald Trump, it seems like it's a very negative downfall. I looked at some research because I was interested in it too, the how would it affect our relationship, and there's a lot of downfalls. Like there was a scenario that it did happen, and our economy dropped down because we are so reliant on each other for trade and security, and people don't realize it, but Canada and America, their like livelihoods are very like closely connected.
Mm-hmm.
But if Donald Trump were to win, it would definitely cause the downfall of that, and we would become almost negative because, I mean, wouldn't drop out completely because obviously we need each other to survive, but it would definitely be negative. There would be a lot of downfalls of it.
Okay, right now you're the voice of Canada. Tell me one thing that you would, one myth you'd like to dispel that you think Americans must think about we Canadians.
Well, I don't think I could do it justice because I haven't been here for as much as you're somebody else, but I think
we do not all live in igloos, right?
Exactly, igloos. I think that's one of the silliest ones.
Right.
I've never even really seen a real igloo in most of the parts that I've been to of Canada,
right,
and I've been to a few. That's not true. We don't live in igloos. We have real houses.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you clearly have had a lot of fun with this, and you must have been asked some pretty interesting questions.
Yes.
From the judges, yes?
Yes.
And the one about the current state of affairs and politics is probably the number one.
That is, yes, because it's something that could really affect our relationship greatly, obviously, because like of the recent visit of Justin Trudeau and Obama, mm-hmm, that was like, we always thought that was like a plus, but if you think about it, Obama's going to be leaving office pretty soon,
mm-hmm,
so that even though that is positive, that's not the president that we want to make the relationship with. Now we need to look at who's going to come up next and who's going to ensure the positivity of this relationship in the future.
And the world.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, listen, I wish you all the best tomorrow. You're a pro, but do you get a little bit nervous even still?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is it kind of intimidating having all the judges stand here together?
Oh, yeah, there's like four of them, and there's like a wall, and you're slowly intimidated.
Right.
But I think that I can do well because it's something that I'm interested in, and it's not just another research topic that I had to do.
Yeah.
It's something that interests me, so I can talk about it on a deeper level, I think.
Right. Well, congratulations on your third time here, and have fun tomorrow.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
All right. It's now the next day, and I'm back in the Heritage Fair exhibit room, and I am with Sage. Hi, Sage.
Hi.
All right. I've been dying to talk to you because you have done a project on a school that I'm quite familiar with. It's the Doris Sitter School of Dance. So, tell me, first of all, clearly you are a dancer.
Yes, I am. I've been dancing for 10 years now.
And you live in Moose Jaw?
I live in Moose Jaw, yes.
Okay, and you go to the French school there?
Yes, École du Cham. I go to École du Cham.
Okay. Now, tell me, why did you choose the Doris Sitter School of Dance other than the fact that you go there to study?
Well, I decided that, you know, I know who founded Doris Sitter School of Dance, but I wanted to know more about the person behind it all, and I decided what project better to do than your dance studio and learn more about its history. So that's mainly why I chose it, and I'm always thinking about dance, so, you know, this allows me to think about dance at school, too.
Right. Now, so tell me about Doris. I know she was born in 1920, that much I know.
Yeah.
And she's no longer with us, right?
No, she died March 23rd, 2009.
So what was her contribution to the world of dance in this province?
Well, she did develop the first dance studio in Moose Jaw, which is, as you know, Dorset School of Dance. But not only that, but she was also the leaders in two very important organizations for dancers today. The Moose Jaw Festival of Dance, Dance Inspirations, and also Canadian Dance Teachers Association. That's a syllabus, an exam syllabus, that's now known throughout the whole world. And that definitely helped dancers to develop their technique and become professional dancers out there in the world.
Wow. Now, do you know much about her background as a dancer herself?
I couldn't find, not a lot of people know about her background in dance, mm-hmm. Because she was one of the pioneers of dance. All I know is that she did start her career teaching at the town theater with 35 kids in Vanguard. But other than that, I don't know a lot about her background in dance. I just know that she was extremely talented, let's just say.
Right, and so she's not with us. The school, was it always named the Dora Sitter School, or is that how she opened it?
What happened was, in 1948, when she first opened a dance studio in Moose Jaw, it was called the Moose Jaw School of Dance, and then in 1966, it was officially named Dora Sitter School of Dance.
Okay, and you've been at the school for how long studying dance?
I've been at the school for 10 years now.
Is this your first entry into the Provincial Heritage Fair?
This is the first time, actually, my whole school has done this Heritage Fair. Oh. In the past, we do science fairs, but this year, I made it past the school fair, the regional fair, and now I'm here, and I'm just excited. It's a cool experience. And yeah.
Right. So what do you, you're in a generation of kids that are glued to gaming and glued to their eye. Oh, you're rolling your eyes when I say that. You know, what do you... it's in science fairs we're quite familiar with, but we're talking about heritage here, which maybe might not be the thing that rolls off of every kid's tongue as something that they're interested in. Why do you think it's important to take an interest in heritage?
I think that... one of the reasons why is I think just finding, if you choose your subject and you find out more about that thing, it's also the process of finding all that information and learning more about your heritage. Like, I couldn't find anything online or in books, so I had to go and ask people. And I think, having that information is passed, like, to generation to generation. And I think that it's just really important to take an interest just in your heritage, because without it, you probably wouldn't be who you were. So that takes a big part in your life. So I think that's why you should, really be interested. That's why I'm interested anyways. I'm glad that I could do this. And I just think that, it's a good way to spend my time other than... I see lots of people, like you said, it's like the age of electronics and stuff. And actually, because I'm so shy most of the time, I had to find almost another way I could almost occupy my time and just stay busy and just not worry about what other people are thinking. And that's why, dance has become such a big part of my life.
Right. What a great answer. So the judging has just happened. How did that go for you?
It was a while ago that I did my presentation. So I was still familiar. I did my presentation three times already. I pretty much know my information. I was a little nervous. It's very cold here, actually, so that didn't help with my nerves. But I think it went pretty good. The judges were all very nice, and they made me feel more comfortable with my project. And I decided, it's the last time doing this. Better make it a good one, I said. So.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you. And I know the judging, the awards given out after lunch.
Yes.
So best of luck with that. But I just think having made it this far is already reward enough, right?
Yeah, that's what my mom said. I was so nervous when I came. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? She's like, hey, look at it this way. You got this far. Yeah. Isn't that a big enough accomplishment? I'm like, you know what? You're right. It doesn't matter if I do super good. I know that I did good. So that's what matters most. And I know I got this far.
That's all that mattered. I think Doris would be very proud of you for feeling that way. Thank you, Sage. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Okay. Now I'm in a slightly quieter space in the solarium, and I am talking with Sage's mom.
Heidi.
Hi. And your name is Heidi.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I know that we've seen each other. You've seen me on stage. I'll pretend I've seen you in the audience.
Okay, well, I'm there every year.
Great, thank you for that. So Sage is your daughter, and we just finished talking with her about her exhibit on the Doris at her School of Dance. So tell me, as a parent, how this experience has been for you and how important or impressed you were when Sage said, I think I'd like to get involved in this.
Yeah. Well, when Sage finds something that she's passionate about, she dives in. Like, literally dives in. And when she told me she was going to do her project on the Doris Sitter School of Dance, I was excited for her, but actually I was a little bit nervous because she is a perfectionist. but I was really impressed by the amount of time and energy she put into, putting her project together, interviewing her teachers. So getting to know her teachers, her dance teachers, on a different level. So when you go to a dance class, you don't necessarily get a chance to talk to them like that. So it was really fun for her to learn about the history of the founder of the school. And I think she actually came out of it with an even greater appreciation, if that's possible, for dance and her school in particular. So yeah, as a parent, I mean, I'm super proud of her. I think she did a great job, and I wish kids could learn like this all the time, because when they're allowed to do something they're interested in, like, a whole nother side of the kids comes out.
Now, were you allowed to participate in putting her exhibit together?
No, I think I held a couple pieces of tape for her. Okay. And as you see, she has a little bit of a broken finger, so I did some last minute, fixing and straightening of things for her. But no, she's a very independent person. She'd ask my opinion once in a while, usually didn't take it if I gave it to her, but that's kind of where my, I bought the board,
yeah.
Put some money into paid for all the shoes that she has on display, but that's where my role ended.
Right. So were you aware of these provincial the whole heritage fair phenomenon before this year?
To be honest, I was not fully aware. Like, I know she did a project last year, but I seem to think last year at her school it felt more science-based.
Yeah.
So I actually really liked this more, because it just allowed them to do something that they were really interested in. So I wasn't really aware, that it did go on to this extent.
Well, these kids would not be able to make it without parents. I know that you were up bright and early this morning after all the rehearsals yesterday in Moose Jaw. So thank you for being caring enough to be involved in your children's life.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's the most important job. And, when they're doing something they're passionate about, it's wonderful to see.
Great. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
Now, here I am with Ingrid Kaskoff, the CEO of Heritage Saskatchewan.
I've been working in Heritage for a long time, and with a museum background, we went through a period of decades where it was about the collection, and now even museums are seeing it's about the story.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're separate. I think we really need to look at the fact that they go hand in hand. And when we talk about living heritage, we really recognize that it's more important the stories become more important because it's also about knowledge transition. It's about not keeping something frozen in time, but moving it forward. Because if we don't pass that on from one generation to the next, then it just becomes something that's placed on a shelf and forgotten. And we're all products of our heritage, whether we like where we our past heritage or not. But we are products of that, and we need to know what's important, what we value. And I think today what I'm finding with the students is that they get that.
Yeah.
I was just asked, what kind of projects would fit into living heritage? I said anything that the students see as an interest, because that's what they value. That's what they find of interest. And I find that so important when you go and speak with them. They're excited about it. They're passionate about it. And they've learned something. But what I find so critical in all of this is that we learn from them.
Absolutely. I don't know why we have this need to put this heritage in a box and say, this is what it is, when it's actually a bigger concept. So to that point, this is the third heritage fair that Heritage Saskatchewan has sponsored.
Yes, there has been a program. Thankfully, the Saskatchewan Youth Heritage Fairs Association had seen the vision to host fairs about 20, 21 years ago. And Heritage Saskatchewan became involved continued the program. And I believe this is our third year that we've hosted a provincial fair. And it's so exciting for us because we can engage with the youth of the future. And I find it so wonderful because I think that the future's in good hands when you've got students like this that are researching these topics but can see how they apply to them today and what they're going to do with them in the future.
How much of a challenge has it been for you, for Heritage Saskatchewan, to bring schools on board? I know you're constantly putting the word out.
Yeah. I won't deny that it isn't a challenge. We certainly have great participation from the Regina and Saskatoon areas, but the challenge is this is very dependent on volunteers and teachers. And, you know, I appreciate the teachers have so much thrown at them through the course of the year. And I know that personally. My husband is a teacher.
Right.
So the challenges become a little bit more difficult in some of the other areas. We'd like to expand this further into the north, and we're hoping to, but we have to find a means of doing that that may not be the face-to-face sort of gatherings because of costs. But there's a digital component and getting people involved even with the Canada's History Project. So each year we try to engage schools to grow the interest, and this year we've been successful in doing that in some of the areas like Swift Current, for example. We've got an extra community that's on board now there. I see each time that we have another school coming on as being critical and important.
But because this is a demographic that I would think you really have to focus on to keep heritage alive,
yeah,
right?
I mean, absolutely.
This is our future.
Yeah. And again, because we've got such a diverse group of students, we learn so much from that diversity. And it is amazing how much they know and can teach us.
All right, just slightly off this topic, because I do want you to speak to something that's very important that's just happened. You were telling me about the conference you've come back from in Quebec City, and tell me about the new connection Heritage Saskatchewan has.
Well, the new connection there is that in 2003, there was a declaration, UNESCO had a declaration on intangible cultural heritage, and throughout since 2003, a number of countries have signed on to that convention, and Canada is not one of them. Right now, there are about 168 countries that have signed on, and because we certainly value intangible cultural heritage and want to move those agendas forward, we see the value in signing that convention. So I was just recently at a conference in Quebec City that we had been invited to participate in to speak about the work that's being done in Saskatchewan, but also to determine whether it would be whether or not we could form a network to try and move the agenda forward so that we could have Canada sign on to that convention. And of course that convention has to be signed on by the politicians, so we've got some work to do. So Heritage Saskatchewan is playing a critical role in that. I guess it would be great to announce that I'm the chair of that committee at the moment. Yay! But I've got great people to work with, and you know, even if it takes some time to sign onto that convention, what we're recognizing that there's a lot of intangible cultural heritage work being done across the country, regardless of whether that convention is signed. But it would be a critical step to have Canada sign on and recognize that the importance of them. You know, as I come into the exploration of living heritage, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years as CEO of Heritage Saskatchewan, I can just see how the connections and how important and how passionate I guess I've become.
Well, it's tremendous work you're doing in the province, in the country, and this Heritage Fair is just spectacular.
Yeah.
You've just hit it out of the park.
Thrilled.
You must be very proud.
Yeah, it's great, and I'm really thrilled with my staff that have worked with this too. And, you know, it's an exciting day, and it's great to get out of the office, you know, and to actually be seeing something that you feel passionate about evolving and seeing it passed on from one generation.
Because you can talk about the theory of intangible culture until the cows come home, right?
It's the living, it's the
being. Yeah. Well done. Well, thank you for inviting me to come along.
Well, I'm glad you came. Hope you're enjoying yourself.
I am. Thank you. Thanks,
thank
Ingrid.
You.
Well, now that the judging is over, there's only one thing left to do, and so off I go to the award ceremony, where the students, their families, and friends all wait with anticipation to find out who would be recognized for their outstanding work. But to be sure, they're all winners, not only for making it this far, but for their passion and thirst for knowledge of our living heritage.
Started with the awards, I'd like to take another moment to acknowledge our sponsors, and they are Saskatchewan Heritage Foundation, Sask Melt, and Sask Culture. Thank you to our sponsors. I also would like to take this opportunity to thank the teachers and parents who helped to make this provincial fair possible in your various roles of mentor, driver, chaperones, and judges and beyond. Thank you. We really, truly couldn't have done it without you.
Linissa.
Yes.
Hi, congratulations.
Thank you.
You won two recognitions here today.
Yes.
And your exhibit was on First Nations.
Yes.
Which is your background culturally.
Yes.
You really blew people away with your exhibit. And I was told, did you at some point either this morning or yesterday say a prayer prior to beginning your presentation?
Yes, I do. I do pray.
You do. So was that something you had planned all along? And is that something you've done during all of the local, the regional, and the provincial?
Yes.
So that's a big part of your...
I pray because I have my feathers, and they're a very sacred thing, and you have to honor those kind of things because they were given to you for a reason,
yes.
And so you have to honor those.
Yes, I saw there was a big do not touch sign there as well. Right.
Yeah.
Is this your first time in Heritage Fair?
No. I've been here before.
You have? Is this the first time you've won?
I've won awards.
Have you?
But I've never made it to provincials. It's my first time making provincials,
right.
But I have made it to regionals
right.
before.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You do your community really proud, and good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Avery, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Your exhibit was on the Spanish influenza.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to you earlier, but it was just so crazy in that room. Why did you choose the Spanish influenza, and how does that play into our Saskatchewan heritage?
I chose it because I remembered a story my grandparents told me about my great-great-grandparent taking care of his neighbors during the Spanish influenza, and would every day come leave food on their doorsteps and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the way it plays in is lots of rural towns were hit really hard by it and would like wipe out whole communities. And like in my Davidson and Girvan and Craig area, there's a lot of deaths in it because I did newspaper research.
Oh, yeah, there's a cemetery just off the highway near Craig.
Yeah.
So I expect that some people are buried there that may have been affected by it.
Yeah, lots of people were buried in the town cemeteries, but also people couldn't get transported there, so they were buried all over.
Right, right.
Yeah.
We no longer have that threat, do we?
No, there's two strains of it. The avian and swine flu were from the Spanish.
Oh.
Yeah, they were strains of it.
Oh, well, the avian is pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty deadly. Well, congrats. This is your first time in provincial?
This is my first time ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Wow. You must feel pretty darn proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Has this been an amazing experience for you?
Yeah.
Yes?
Interesting, like seeing everything, like all the steps to get here.
Yeah. And what town are you from again?
Davidson.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you've done Davidson proud. Good for you.
Thank you.
Have a safe drive home. Thanks. Hey, Kent, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So you did the Saskatchewan Air Ambulance, which is something very important to us in this province. Why did you choose that topic?
I chose it because I was at a museum 2 years ago, and I saw this cool plane, and I found out that it was an air ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out one this year, and I was like to Mom, so what was that like plane I saw at the museum? And she was like, oh, yeah, the air ambulance. And I started kind of researching it. I found out that it led into the service today, and that's just how I got into it.
We have only one, right?
No, we have two.
Well, we do have
two. We have Stars,
yes.
And we have Lifeguard. Lifeguard uses planes because they can fly farther and faster, and Stars flies shorter distance missions.
Right, and this is pretty important work that these guys do on the whole. Do they get to areas where that are not particularly accessible, as well as just getting people to major hospitals that are living in rural communities?
They can't get to some of the places stars can get to because they can just land flat.
Okay.
But lifeguard can land in quite a few places.
Okay. So is this something you'd like to do?
Yes.
You didn't even hesitate to think about that. Wow, that's fantastic. Is this your first time coming to provincials?
Yes, it is.
Is this your first time entering the Heritage Fair ever?
No, I did it.
You did it before?
Last year.
Okay, great. Well, you must feel pretty darn proud of yourself.
I do.
That's pretty fantastic. And you're from what town?
Weyburn.
Oh, from Weyburn.
Yes.
Good old Weyburn. Right.
Yeah.
Well, have a great ride home. You've done Weyburn proud.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kent.
Thank you.
Come over here, you guys. Bryn and Maya.
Maya's.
Okay. I'm with Bryn and Maya, who are made up so fantastically that the second you walked into the room, everybody turned your heads. You guys did your exhibit on the Moose Jaw tunnels, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Now, are you from Moose Jaw?
No.
Oh, so why did you take an interest in the Moose Jaw tunnels?
Well, our teacher was talking about the Moose Jaw tunnels, and she showed us a couple of videos, and we were very interested about them, and we decided to do our heritage fair on them, but we didn't know much about the tunnels, so then we went to the tunnels.
Yeah, you did go. Yeah, right, right. And so you went underground, and you saw them do a reenactment down there. They have actors that are down there, yeah?
Yep.
And so you're dressed up as if you're one of a couple of the actors there, or are you dressed up in the period? Tell me about your costume.
We're dressed up as black and white pictures.
Oh, right. It makes total sense. That's so clever.
Thank you.
And are you, and you're obviously in costume that would be appropriate for that time.
Yeah.
That's so clever. Now that you've said it, I totally see it. Whose idea was that?
Well, my mom saw it on Pinterest.
You saw it online?
She saw it online, mm-hmm. and she thought it was really cool. And since our backboard was so, like, colorful.
So tell me, who was the most famous person that has a legend about him in the Moose Jaw Tunnels?
Al Capone.
Yes, and was he a good guy?
No.
He was a gangster?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But no one's sure that he was even involved with the tunnels, but still, he was a really bad man.
Right, right. So is this your first time working together in a heritage fair?
Yes.
First time coming to a heritage fair ever for either of you?
Yeah.
Yes, but in grade 4 and 3, we just did them, but we didn't actually move on.
Okay.
We just did them for fun.
Do you always do yours together?
No.
No, this was the first time.
Yeah.
But this is your first time coming to provincials?
Yeah.
Yes.
And look how well you did. Congratulations. You must be pretty darn proud of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me again what town you live in?
Regina.
Oh, you're right here in Regina.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, you've got a long commute home, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You've done Regina really proud. But this has been so fun to watch you guys get all this recognition. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, finally, we've got...
Emile Willett.
Emile, that's right. And you did your project on...
The Liberation of Holland.
Right. So, actually, it's interesting because the Liberation of Holland is something that was very near and dear to my father, who was a World War II vet. So why did you choose that subject?
I chose this subject because I have family in the army in Quebec.
Yeah.
I'm in cadets and... Mostly World War II is, like, my favorite subject in school.
Oh, yeah? And so, were you born in Quebec?
No, my dad was.
Your dad? You were born here?
Yes.
In what community do you live?
Regina.
Oh, in Regina. Wow. So, is this your first time ever in a heritage fair?
It is not my first time in heritage fair.
Mm-hmm.
I made it to regionals in grade 4, but I didn't went to provincials.
Well, you've never gotten, and so this is the first time, and look how well you've done. Has it been a fantastic experience for you this weekend?
It has been.
Great. You think you'll do it again?
Yes.
Well, it's so nice to see someone of your generation take an interest in World War II, because I think there are so few World War II vets left. Tell me briefly, how did they play into World War II, your subject?
So they played in World War II right after the D-Day landing, the British generals asked the Canadian forces if they could continue sweeping the beaches in the northern of Belgium and Holland.
Yes.
Because the Canadian beach, Juno Beach, was mostly on the east. So they fastly liberated the north of Belgium, but when they landed in Holland, it was very hard German resistance.
Yeah. Have you met anybody that was on Juno Beach?
Unfortunately, no.
I have, and they have quite amazing stories to tell. And they tear up whenever they talk about that time. It must have been very, very difficult. We're very grateful that we live in a time when there is no more war in this country right now, at least, yes? Well, congratulations. You've really, really done well, and I know that you impressed a lot of people with your exhibit. Has it been a great experience?
Yes.
Right on. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening. Music for Saskapes is provided by Saskatchewan-born singer-songwriter Jeffrey Straker. Special thanks to Sask Culture for their ongoing support. It's so exciting to see Saskapes being downloaded by a global audience. Remember, if you're in Saskatchewan and have a story that needs to be heard, contact me about how you can become a sponsor. Stories from our past and our present, they're all waiting to be told from here in the land of the living skies. So, until next time...